Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, who's a whosoever? Well, let me ask you, are you a whosoever that has called upon the name of the Lord? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Someone says, well, I go to church. Bible doesn't say whoever goes to church will be saved. Somebody says, well, I've been christened. He didn't say whoever's christened will be saved. Someone says, well, I've been baptized. He didn't say whosoever is baptized will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or I remember one time I was in a pretty bad situation, and I said, Jesus, help me. Well, that's a sense of calling on the name of the Lord for assistance, but that's not calling on the name of the Lord for salvation. That is not calling on the name of the Lord to be adopted into the family of God. That is not calling on the name of the Lord to be a soldier of the cross, a believer priest, of being born again. Any number of people have called upon the name of the Lord in a moment of stress, a moment of fear, even a moment of anger. But that's not the same as calling upon the name of the Lord in desperation as a sinner. Saying, Lord God, I'm a sinner. I was born with a sin nature. I have sinned. I do sin. I am sinning. But I'm coming to you as a sinner. And I'm saying to you that I want to be forgiven for my sins. I want you to take note of me. Take note of the fact that I'm coming to you as a sinner. I'm confessing to you that I am a sinner. And I'm asking you in your grace and mercy and love to forgive me, a sinner, by putting my sins to death in Christ Jesus. I think one of the most least understood doctrines in the Bible, it is not that God forgives the sinner. He does. God forgives the sinner, and God forgives the sinner of his sin. But we need to remember that he forgives the sinner, and he forgives the sin on the basis that he went to the cross. And on the cross, he became the sinner. How? By taking upon himself the sins of all who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. Notice I did not say that he took upon himself the sins that would be confessed to some priest, some preacher, some pastor, no, confessed to him. You see, it's a one-on-one thing. It's a one-on-one thing. Each of us as an individual have to come to grips with the reality that we came out of the womb with a sin nature. And it didn't take long for that sin nature to start revealing itself for what it was, a sin nature. As I've taught you so many times, nobody had to teach you to lie. Nobody had to teach you to steal, cheat. Nobody had to teach you to disobey God. It came natural. Disobedience to God came natural. Why? Because you're born with a sin nature. You came out of the womb. I came out of the womb. We all came out of the womb with a sin nature, children of the devil. And we remain children of the devil until we are adopted into the family of God and God becomes our father. But we're not adopted into the family of God until we are born again. And we're not born again until we acknowledge ourselves as sinners, recognize ourselves as sinners, confess ourselves to be sinners, and ask God in His love, in His mercy, in His grace, to forgive us for our sins. And then we ask the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart, be our Lord, be our Savior, be our Master. Now the question is, have you asked Him into your heart? And if so, have you made Him Lord of your life? Are you treating Him as Master? When He says, do this or do that, do you say, yes, sir, and do it? Or do you restrain yourself? Do you restrict yourself somewhat? Have to understand this. Every individual ever born was born with a sin nature. And yet the Word of God tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved? What does it mean to be saved? Saved from what? Saved to what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To be saved means to be saved from an eternity in hell. Now that's what it means. To be saved means to be saved from an eternity in hell and saved for an eternity in heaven and the new heavens and the new earth in the family of God forevermore. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever's. That's a mixed multitude, isn't it? Whosoever. That covers every individual in every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every culture in the world. Whosoever's. That covers everybody. The whosoever's are a mixed multitude. Now stop and think about this. The kingdom of God and the family of God is full of whosoever's. Full of whosoever's. Whosoever's who did at some point in time realize, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. I came out of my mother's womb as a sinner, and nobody had to teach me to lie. Nobody had to teach me to cheat. Nobody had to teach me to steal. I am a sinner. Once you can come to grips with that reality, yes, I'm a sinner. I was born with a sin nature, and I revealed I had a sin nature very early on in life because I started lying. Why, even in school, I found myself cheating. Cheating on an exam, cheating on a test. Folks, I think one of the least understood truths in the religious community is being religious, and I am separating the religious community from the Christian community because the religious community is made up of individuals who belong to a system of religion. They have bought into a system of religion. Now I'm going to take you back once again, as I have so many times over the years. Nicodemus was a member of a system of religion. He was in a religious community. He held a high position in that religious community. He was esteemed in that religious community. He was respected in that religious community. And one heartbeat from hell. One heartbeat from hell. Had his last heartbeat come before he came to Christ that night and discussed with Christ, what does it really mean to be right with God? That was really the bottom line of where he was. He wanted to know, what does it take to be right with God? I'm a priest. I'm a Sadducee. I'm involved in the major religious community of the nation. I'm involved in religious activities. I'm teaching. I'm speaking. I'm praying. I'm praying audibly. I'm praying verbally. I'm praying in my own private time. I'm praying. I'm doing everything you're supposed to do, Jesus. I teach. I speak. I pray. I witness. I serve. I'm a member of the religious organization. So what's lacking? Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born again? Born again? Are you saying to me that I'm to enter back into my mother's womb and be born again? No. I'm saying to you that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. What do we mean by that which is born of the flesh is flesh? Natural childbirth. Natural childbirth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. As one born in the flesh, if you want to see and be in glory when you die, you've got to be born again. Because if you're never born again, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. Nicodemus, I realize you're a religious individual. I realize you're involved in religious activity. I realize that you're a leader among religious community. But, Nicodemus, you're one heartbeat from hell. I wonder how many today, listening to this, are one heartbeat from hell. When we stop and look at John chapter 1, and I'm going to take you to three or four or five verses in here just to examine them, and I want you to slow down for a few moments. I'm going to say some things that are going to offend some of you. Others, it will stabilize you, it will strengthen you, it will encourage you. And you have to find yourself in the mix. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with God. Did you hear me? You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with God. There was a Pharisee, but before we get to him, let me take you to John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was Jesus. The Word was Jesus. In the beginning was the beginning of what? Time and eternity. Creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word has always been. The Word is today. The Word will always be. He was in the beginning with God. When there was nothing else, in recent days I've told you, when there was nothing else, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There was nothing else. Nothing. Nothing had been created. Nothing had been spoken into existence. There was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Word says in verse 3 of John chapter 1, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. He's the source of every created thing. Did you hear me? He is the source of every created thing. Everything that was ever created has its existence, its beginning, its substance, and its existence in the power of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Have you comprehended the light? Have you comprehended the light of the Word of God? Have you comprehended the light that is in Christ Jesus? You have that understanding. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Speaking generally about that, the darkness did not apprehend it. The moral darkness of those who rejected or did not receive the spiritual light given them. You see, God, every man is born. We came out of the womb with the understanding way down deep somewhere in our subconsciousness that God is. We come out of the womb with a conscience. A conscience. We're not yet born again. We have not received the indwelling Spirit of God, but we have conscience. And that conscience will tell us a thing is right or a thing is wrong. But how many of us have dulled the conscience by not paying any attention whatever to the conscience. Now the word goes on in John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Wow. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God uses people. God uses people. He wants to use you. But he cannot use you unless you're born again. He cannot use you unless you've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, because it is the Holy Spirit of God who has to enable you and empower you to be used by God. But if you've been born again and you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, then he will enable you and empower you to do that which he wants you to do. And each of us have an assignment. Each of us are to be salt, yes. Each of us to be light, yes. But each of us have an assignment in the place where he has placed us, in the community where he's placed us, in the profession where he has placed us. We each have an assignment in that place. John is born with an assignment. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for witness. He was born for that. John was born to be a witness of the Messiah. John was born to bear witness of the light. That all, did you notice I said all? That's the word of God. That all through him might believe. It is an awesome, awesome, awesome thing to realize that salvation, redemption, is available to every human being on the face of the earth. That God's plan of salvation, that when Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross for each and every sinful, each and every sinner, regardless of the type of sin, regardless of the depth of the sin, regardless of the depravity of the sin, regardless of how long the sin had been practiced, he went to the cross. And on that cross, he took upon himself the sins of all who would believe, all who would receive. And on that cross, he became, if you will, an object of God's displeasure, to the point that when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew that God the Father, for the first time in all of eternity, was not hearing him, was not listening to him. Why? Because he, on that cross, had become everything that God hates, so that you, me, we could become everything that God loves. Now, John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Now, verse 8 says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, Jesus. Christ Jesus is the true light. He was to be a witness to that which was the true light, Jesus, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I am convinced, based on what I see in the Word of God, that the illumining, convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God is working and has worked with every individual ever born, seeking to gain access and entrance into their lives to help them better understand that they are sinners in need of a Savior, that they are sinners in need of salvation. But one can reject. One can reject the witness of the Holy Spirit. One can reject the attempts of the Holy Spirit trying to draw them into a understanding and a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after a prolonged period of rejection, the Holy Spirit quits, stops, no longer. I hope you're not there, individual. I hope that you're not that individual who's there. I hope that you've not received the point in time where you are no longer receptive nor sensitive to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, to the convicting, illumination, the power of the Holy Spirit. Speaking of Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Understand that. He made the world, and the population of the world did not know him. They were eating what he produced. They were embracing everything he provided. They were enjoying sunshine. the rain, the seasons. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Citizens of the world did not know him, but he came to his own. The Word of God says in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Who were his own? He was of the Jewish extraction, the Jewish race. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God had to have some place to start. He started with Abraham. And from Abraham, he brought forth a tribe. He brought forth a nation of 12 tribes. And one of those tribes was the tribe of Judah, through which the Messiah came. And then he came to his own, the people of Israel. And his own did not receive him. But here's where it gets so much better. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, he gave the power to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. Are you there? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, to them he gave the power, to them he enabled them, as many as would in childlike faith believe and receive, as many as would in childlike faith say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I believe that he lived a sinless life. I believe that he died a vicarious death on the cross on behalf of all who would believe in him and receive him, and I am believing in him and receiving him. I'm not putting my faith in any denomination. I'm not putting my faith in any system of religion. I'm not placing my faith in Mary. I'm not placing my faith in any apostle. I'm placing my faith in Christ and Christ Jesus alone. But as many as received him, were willing to believe and receive. But as many as received him, to them, to those who believed and received, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. Look at verse 13. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You have to understand that these individuals, in John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, those who acknowledged themselves to be sinners, acknowledged him to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and received him as such. They received him as such. To them, he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. To them, he gave the right to become the children of God. John chapter 1 and verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He speaks not, in this instance, of natural human childbirth. He's not talking about natural human childbirth. Rather, he speaks of a spiritual childbirth. He speaks of those who were spiritually born again. Those who, through faith in Christ Jesus, believed, received him, then and today, as many as believed, as many as received him, who invited him to come into their heart, come into their life, and be the Lord and Savior. And they understood that in Jesus Christ as the only name under heaven, that Christ Jesus is the only means by which sinful man can be reconciled to holy God. That is what that means. In John 1:13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Are you one of those who has believed that his is the only means unto heaven, the only name unto heaven, by which you, sinful man, can be or was reconciled to holy God? John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Folks, this has got to be one of the most mind-boggling truths in the universe. God, Word of God became flesh, deity. God took on humanity. God in Christ Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, took on humanity and lived in his humanity among men. And he practiced, he revealed his humanity and who he was, what he was, what he did, what he said. And we beheld his glory, John goes on. We beheld his glory, his expressions of love, his demonstrations of his love, his miracles. We don't talk about his miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, turning water to wine, multiplying the bread, multiplying the fishes, and how many hundreds of thousands in the 3 years that he walked this earth, how many hundreds, how many thousands of miracles that he performed day after day that were never recorded. His life was full of miracles, one continuous miracle after the other. And then there was that transfiguration on the mount when he had Peter, James, and John come up on the mount, and he met with them there. And before them, in front of their very eyes, he was transfigured from his human body into his supernatural body. And they saw Jesus Christ in his supernatural body. Can you imagine being on a mountain, three men alone with him, and all of a sudden seeing him transformed from his humanity into his supernatural existence, seeing him in his supernatural body, the transfiguration on the mount, and then his appearance after he was crucified? They didn't grasp it. They were not grasping it going into the final hours of his life. They were not grasping what he was trying to say to them. But he appeared to them after his crucifixion in his resurrected body. On numerous occasions, he made an appearance to different ones, starting of all people with Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. You recall that she went to the tomb early in the morning, and she saw the tomb was empty. And she left, and she ran to Peter and John. They'd taken his body. She had gone to anoint his body with oil. But she said, they've taken his body. He's gone. We don't know where he is. And so they, with her, go back to the tomb. John outruns Peter, gets to the tomb first, but he pauses. He waits. He's hesitant outside the tomb. Peter, he doesn't hesitate. No, not an impulsive Peter. He goes right on into the tomb, and he gets there. And he sees where the body had been laying. And he sees the clothes that his body was wrapped in laying over here. And he sees the napkin that had been placed around his head, folded neatly and placed over here. And he knew. John knew. Peter knew. No, they didn't steal his body. They didn't steal his body. He's been resurrected. He tried to tell us. He was trying to tell us this was going to happen. We were not grasping it. I'm not real sure a great deal of the church today has really grasped the reality of who he is and all he is. They spent 3 years with him, listening to him teach, watching him perform miracle after miracle after miracle. They saw him walk on water. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him multiply food. They saw him demonstrate his deity day after day after day, and yet it never really dawned on them the reality and the fullness of what he was trying to demonstrate to them. Has he to you? Have you understood yet who he is and what it's all about? Have you yet grasped the reality of who he is and all that he is and all that he's about and all that's yet to come? Have you grasped that? Then they watched him in his ascension back into glory. Do you realize he was standing there talking to them? And all of a sudden he starts ascending. He starts rising. He's ascending back into the heavens. And they stand there watching him. They watch him till the clouds take him out of their sight. He is ascending back to the glory as of the only begotten of Father. All that he taught, all that he did, all that he was, revealed him to be the Messiah, the Son of God in the flesh. Everything he taught, everything that he did, everything that he was, revealed him to be the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, full of grace and truth. Never condemning, never judging those seeking his favor. We never find an instance of him condemning those who come to him with seeking his mercy, seeking his grace, seeking a favor, regardless of who they were, regardless of what they were. We never find him judging them. We don't, listen, sinners of every kind, of every class, sinners of every magnitude came to him and were received, were forgiven, were received. We never see him condemning nor judging those who come to him seeking his favor, regardless of who they were or what they were. One exception, the leadership of the religious community. That was the exception. The leadership of the religious community, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I say to you with all the I can muster, we have hundreds of thousands in religious leadership today who will split hell wide open because they're involved in a false system of religion. They're not teaching Christ as he is to be taught. They're not saying to sinners, you must be born again. No, they're saying, if you join our little religious group, and if you let us baptize you, and if you let us sprinkle you, and you become a part of us, then you'll be right with God. Wrong. Wrong. They are misrepresenting the gospel. They're lying to the people. And people are going to die and go to hell because we have religious leadership in movements of religion that are misrepresenting the gospel. John 1:15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said who came. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist recognized Jesus for who he was, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh. John the Baptist recognized Christ Jesus for who he was and declared the preexistence of Jesus. He declared, John declared the preexistence of Christ Jesus in John 1:16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. You see, that verse, this verse, John 1:16, speaks to the progressive, listen to me. Listen to me, child of God. Listen to me, person who wants to be a child of God. This verse, John 1:16, speaks to the progressive illumination, understanding, and comprehension. You get it? This verse speaks to those who desire a progressive illumination a progressive understanding and a progressive understanding of who Jesus is, who he was, and what he did. The teacher's commentary makes this observation concerning that verse. Listen to me carefully. Back to that verse once again, John 1:16. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Once again, this is the teacher's commentary. I couldn't find anybody that says it any clearer. The teacher's commentary makes this observation concerning that verse. Quote, these are the evangelist's words. They express the inexhaustible store of the divine power, justice, and mercy, on which all the rightfully disposed and obedient are privileged to draw. One grace or favor is granted after another. The gifts of God increase in number and preciousness according to the faith and persistence of the seeker. All true Christians. Experience confirms this. Now slow down and listen to me. How many years have I taught progressive illumination and revelation and understanding, when I myself am still coming through progressive illumination, progressive revelation, progressive understanding? None of us ever reach a point where we have full, complete, total, thorough fullness of knowledge. But listen to this expression once again from the teacher's commentary, speaking of that verse. These are the evangelist's words. They express the inexhaustible store of the divine power, justice, and mercy, on which all the rightfully disposed and obedient are privileged to draw. One grace or favor is granted after another. In other words, it's one after another, after another, after another, as we progressively grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing now, the gifts of God increase in number and preciousness according to the faith and persistence of the seeker. All true Christians. Experience confirms this. How many years I've taught this? Unfortunately, how many in the body of Christ do not understand this truth? And I myself did not grasp nor understand this truth coming into the ministry. I myself did not grasp or understand this truth after some time in the ministry. And how many today do not fully grasp this spiritual truth? Therefore, they do not give themselves to this truth. I would to God that he would grant to each individual who hears this message progressive understanding, comprehension, and revelation of Christ Jesus, and believe only in and only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ for reconciliation with God the Father through Christ the Son, the Messiah, my Lord and my God. Oh, my Lord and my God. Oh, my Lord and my God. Please penetrate the darkness, the deception, the religious deception in any number of expressions of religion, and bring those who are of the elect in each of these false expressions of religion. You have those who are of the elect. Quicken their hearts, give them understanding, give them comprehension, and bring them out of those false systems of religion into the body of Christ, and then use them within the body of Christ to penetrate even those dark systems of religion they came out of, to go back in there with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and see hundreds and thousands brought to Christ Jesus who at this present time are in a false system of religion. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.